from WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, July 14th. Coming up, we'll learn about LGBTQ farmers and the difference they're making in rural communities. That story from Harvest Public Media is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois college students and people who work in higher education in the state will no longer face COVID-19 vaccine mandates. Alex Degman explains.
Governor J.B. Pritzker's updated order leaves in place the vaccine mandate for K-12 school employees. Dan Montgomery is president of the Illinois Federation of Teachers, which represents higher ed faculty, staff, and graduate students. In a statement, he said he supports the order because it'll help keep, quote, school buildings open and everyone in them healthy. But he wasn't available to comment on changes to higher education. The updated order also drops the vaccine requirement for emergency medical service providers. Plus, unvaccinated healthcare employees in hospitals, doctors' offices, and long-term care facilities won't have to get tested for COVID as often. I'm Alex Degman.
Judge Lisa Holder White was sworn in last week as the first black woman justice on the Illinois Supreme Court. The newest justice succeeded the longest-serving judge, retired Supreme Court Justice Rita Garman. Lisa Holder White tells the 21st show that her time as both a prosecutor and public defender has informed her philosophy.
So you see all of society and you learn how to, connect and deal with people from all different types of backgrounds. And you see, I think, the human element.
A Decatur native, Holder White earned a law degree from the University of Illinois College of Law in Urbana-Champaign. The 54-year-old Republican was previously a 4th District State Appellate Court Justice. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is taking his political show on the road once again. Dave McKinney has more.
Pritzker told WBEZ late last month that he wouldn't run for president in 2024 if Joe Biden seeks re-election. But as Biden's electoral prospects sag, Pritzker is the keynote speaker Saturday at an annual gathering of Florida Democrats. He's already gone to New Hampshire, and Pritzker's latest travel destination has once again ramped up speculation that the first-term Democratic governor is laying the groundwork for a possible presidential run. Pritzker's campaign says his support for the Florida Democratic Party is rooted in his desire to help Democratic leaders get elected in that state. But Pritzker's GOP opponent this fall, Darren Bailey, called on the governor to, quote, stop hobnobbing with his billionaire friends all around the country and address inflation back at home. This is Dave McKinney.
Federal money will be used to help improve access to food for people in Illinois. The Institute for Rural Affairs at Western Illinois University will receive $200,000 to address rural and urban food deserts across the state. The Institute's program manager, Sean Park, defines a food desert as living more than 10 miles from a grocery store in rural areas or more than 1 mile away in the city.
It's a problem everywhere. It's not just a Midwestern thing, although I find it particularly ironic, as I said, that we're growing food, but it's going away to be processed, and then we have to drive 30 miles to go buy it after it's processed.
The Institute helps small communities open grocery stores. The first was in Winchester in Scott County in 2018, then two more in 2020 in Stark and Logan counties. There will be two more stores opening in Cutler and Cairo in southern Illinois. Still to come, we'll learn about the impact that LGBTQ farmers are having on their rural communities. That story from Catherine Wheeler is coming up next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. There are not any definite numbers about how many farmers belong to the LGBTQ community in the U.S., but many are making a point to be visible in their rural communities. Catherine Wheeler has more for Harvest Public Media.
After a rainy morning on Shea Peshek and Anna Hankins' farm, the chickens are coming out of the greenhouse and starting to sunbathe in the yard. Peshek and Hankins are gearing up to do the day's chores. Peshek's life now is one she didn't exactly envision for herself as a kid. Growing up here on her family's farm in eastern Iowa, she didn't know any queer people in agriculture.
I really didn't feel like that was an option for me. So I thought, oh, for me to be out and have a wife and have like this out relationship, or like to even find and date someone, that I needed to move to a city. So that's what I did.
But 8 years later, agriculture called her back to Iowa from San Diego. A while after moving back, she met Hankins, who had moved from the East Coast to work on a farm. Together, they started Over the Moon Farm and Flowers in 2019, a direct-to-consumer farm with livestock and flowers. Peshek says now she and Hankins are the examples, especially for queer people who can't or don't want to leave, that you can live and be connected in a rural community.
There's a lot of people that will tell us like, oh, I showed my queer relative, you know, your page, and they were really excited to know that you existed.
It's hard to know how many LGBTQ farmers there are in the U.S., The USDA doesn't include sexual orientation or gender identity in its census of agriculture, as it does with other demographic information like race. Catherine Densman, an assistant professor of rural sociology and public policy at Iowa State University, is trying to get a better sense of the numbers. She and a research team analyzed the 2017 U.S. Census of Agriculture.
We looked at men married to men and found about 8,300 farms that were run by men married to men. And that accounts for about almost 1% of all two producer farms. And then for women married to women, it was a lot lower. We found about 3,500, which is about like 0.4%.
But Densman says that's a significant undercount since the study was focused only on two producer farms. She says knowing numbers is important so that LGBTQ farmers can get direct resources and support. One struggle queer people can face in rural areas is finding a queer community. And that's not different for farmers. Hannah Breckbill says back in 2018, she was having a hard time finding people who were queer and understood farming. So a friend encouraged her to build her own community. She started an annual event on her farm in Northeast Iowa called the Queer Farmer Convergence.
The point of it is to see my people and to be seen and understood as a whole person by the people who share a lot of experiences with me, and then also to be challenged by my people.
Breckbill says she wants to use her position as a landowner for justice. Her farm, Humble Hands Harvest, is a worker-owned cooperative with pigs, lamb, and vegetables. She says they're working to reduce barriers for getting started in farming.
Queer people have had to buck systems that don't work for us. But because of that experience of like bucking those systems, we are good at bucking other systems.
That's something researchers have noticed about queer farmers. Michaela Hoffelmeyer is a PhD candidate in rural sociology at Penn State University. They say not all farmers in the LGBTQ community take a queer approach to farming, but for those that do, they often challenge assumptions and norms of the existing ag system.
They're actively creating solutions to issues in the food system, such as hunger, food insecurity, malnutrition. And they're doing this with less resources.
Hoffelmeyer says queer people kept out of agriculture by discrimination can't offer solutions, and agriculture misses out on much needed farmers.
There are enough people who want to farm. We talk to them every day. They're just not from the same people that people are comfortable with seeing owning and operating farms and capital.
Hoffelmeyer says queer farmers like those at Over the Moon and Humble Hands are working through the barriers and discrimination that not only LGBTQ farmers face, but also all of those from historically disadvantaged backgrounds. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Catherine Wheeler.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see sunny skies today with a high of 84 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Harrison Malkin, Dave McKinney, Herb Trix, and Catherine Wheeler. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.